Hi, this is Nichelle Nichols, and when I'm in this quadrant, I tune in to Screen Geeks Radio. You should too.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay, and Josh is not hitting his Coke this time.
No, not today.
No. Maybe I'll put that in as a little Easter egg at the end of the episode or something. Wow. Okay, so how are we going to do the... Okay, this week we're talking about the Indiana Jones movies. I don't think we're even sure how we're going to do this, so...
We'll figure it out when we get to it.
Okay, let's just talk about what came out, and we'll just kind of skip over this week's movies, I'm guessing.
Well, there's a few. In limited release, you had John Cusack and Hilary Duff, of all people, in War Incorporated, opening very, very limited release.
And it sounds interesting, though.
It does. An interesting cast, too, but apparently it played very badly at film festivals, and I thought it was going straight to video, but actually it's playing somewhere. And opening in even less theaters, Mr. Bowles Postal.
Yes. Playing it. Did you watch the first 5 minutes yet, Josh?
Yeah, I think we all watched it, didn't
okay,
we?
Okay,
sure,
yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
You know.
It was fun. It actually was funny.
It wasn't that bad.
It was actually funny until the passengers broke in. And I'm like, okay, had this played in New York, there would have been riots and the theater would have been destroyed
at
that
exact
moment.
Down.
Yes. Yeah, the theater, they would have lynched the manager.
But it's playing in Denver.
There's bad taste.
It is playing in Denver.
Yes. There's one. It's like a brand new theater it's showing at.
When are we going?
I don't know.
Field trip.
I've been kind of contemplating that.
We should go. Just to, I don't know why, but.
Because we're one of four cities in the world.
That's true.
We're going to be able to see this.
Okay.
Although not to quote Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Yes.
So, yes.
You know, we could definitely get Uwe on our show, though, you know, knowing that if we tell him that the three of us actually drove like 60 miles to see one of his movies.
And we paid X amount for gas and all that.
Right.
Oh, he'd be
like, awesome. Wow, it's more I spent on the movie.
Do you really want to line his pockets, though?
He has connections to Christina Loken, and that's fine with me.
Oh, so
that's
okay.
A yes on Josh.
Okay, all right then. All right. Well, is that all we got for theatrical releases? Oh, we got the big one.
There is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is proving to be one of the summer's most controversial movies.
Or as I call it, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Why the Hell Not.
And so, Dave will explain why just a little bit.
Yes. All right, but let's move on to the DVD releases as well.
This week in DVD release, you had Rambo, Stallone in Rambo, the 1 and 2 disc special edition. The 2 disc is even more deadlier. Three Stooges, Volume 3, 1937 to 1939. Rambo, again, the complete collection set. Yes, this actually comes with bullets. And
I hate to say it, every time you said Rambo, I just watched Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, and at the end of the credits, there's this guy named Rando, and they're like, Rando the Magician shall do magic. Yeah, and I don't know why that's why.
There's bullets that come with the, like actual bullets? Or
no, I'm just
hoping. It's like a tin case.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In my world, it would come with bullets. And a gun. And from the Criterion, the good people of Criterion, The Thief of Baghdad. Awesome, awesome.
One of the most influential movies. That's what I'm looking for of all time.
Yes, yes. Visually rich film. Woody Allen's disappointing Cassandra's Dream with Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell. Definitely not one of his best films. Cleaner. Is it the sequel to Clean? Like Clean and Cleaner?
Or Codename the Cleaner?
No. It's like some crappy action movie. I don't know.
Oh,
I
put it on there.
Something called Cleaner. Okay.
Yeah. I apologize. That was my bad.
No, it's okay. I should have. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. And then John Cusack in a great film by the name of Grace Is Gone and a really rich documentary, which includes an appearance by George Clooney called Darfur Now.
Yeah. And that had Don Cheadle behind it. Big
That's
time
right.
Too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Supposed to be an excellent film.
Cool. All right. Shall we move on to news?
Yes, Richard Dreyfuss is Dick Cheney in Oliver Stone's W.
That impartial film that's coming up, because he's going
to
be completely
fair. Yeah, that's exactly the first thing that came to my head. I'm like, what? I don't know.
I mean, I'm not saying that it does that.
Word this carefully, Dave.
Yes. I'm not going to come down either in the political spectrum, but knowing Oliver Stone and his political leanings, I think it's pretty hard to believe that this is going to be a...
Fair and balanced, as he says. Yeah, I don't buy that either.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen with it, though. So.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it, but yeah, as far as if the movie sounds like a good idea or not, I think the jury's still out for now.
Although I still think that he doesn't look like Bush at all. Who's that?
Oh, Josh Brolin?
Yeah, I don't... But we were talking the other day, and... what's her name? Looks exactly like
Elizabeth Banks. Yeah, uncannily like Laura.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have one piece of news. I might as well just get it over with. The Space Chimps poster came out.
Yes.
Why would I care about this ever?
This constitutes as news today.
Because it's all I got. Well, except for one trailer that we'll have to talk about that came with Indy this weekend. But no, I went with my wife and a longtime friend and her boyfriend to go see Prince Caspian again. And they showed a commercial for the Space Chimps video game. And everyone's jaw was just kind of, you remember in Shrek after they had the It's a Small World thing and they take the picture, that look of just like pure dumbfounded idiocy?
Yeah.
That was pretty much every person in the theater. This is not going to do well. I'm just saying.
Who's, isn't there big voices in it too? Or
couldn't care less.
Okay.
I believe so.
Yeah, I remember reading about it.
Somebody of merit in the film. I don't even know when this thing is opening, honestly. We don't have it on our schedule. So I think it's like one of those also movies, like opening the same day as Hellboy 2.
Actually, I think it is on the schedule. I just didn't put it on there.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very cleverly left.
I just wanted to leave it off there. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, just say there's no news or link to put to, because I wouldn't inflict that on anyone ever. All right, everyone else take it away, because I got Jack.
I don't think I had any.
Okay, you had the same thing I have. So yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the really cool trailer in a second. The Cannes Film Festival just ended today, and just a few hours ago, the French film The Class, just won the Palme d'Or for Best Picture. Interestingly enough, everybody says it's one of the worst Cannes Film Festivals in years. People have been really let down. Critics were actually not as mean as you'd think to the fourth Indiana Jones movie. However, most critics were very, very hard on Charlie Kaufman's Synecdoche, New York, for the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Very underwhelmed by, everybody says it's way too long, the 4.5-hour movie by Steven Soderbergh, Shay, about Shay Guevara with Benicio del Toro. They love Woody Allen's new movie, but it wasn't up for any awards, so they couldn't give it any awards. So they gave it to this film called The Class, which they say is actually one of the more upbeat movies that premiered at the Fest this year. Everybody says the Fest must have been really downbeat and dark and depressing, and everybody's wanting to just hang themselves after all these screenings.
Was Vicky Cristina Barcelona, is that the Woody Allen film you're talking about?
Yep.
Wasn't that supposed to be a comedy?
It's a comedy, but it was out of competition. It wasn't one of the movies actually competing for the film. Even the Wim Wenders movie, the Palermo shooting with Dennis Hopper and Mila Jovovich, everybody says that was a roll downer too. So they were so glad that literally the last movie that played for the Fest was this movie, The Class, which was supposed to be kind of serious but also very funny and very inspiring. And it's literally this movie about this French classroom, and it won.
Okay. So. Here's a pure random question. I'm sure you saw most of what showed. Did that Tokyo anthology film show there? The one that has stuff by Michel Gondry and...
Yes, it did.
What was the word on that? Because it looks really interesting.
Very mixed. Very mixed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently at this time it doesn't have a distributor. And neither does Synecdoche, New York. And neither does what just happened, the Barry Levinson movie we were talking about last week. So, yeah. That's a kind of a...
So a bad festival then.
But apparently a real downbeat fest this year, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but not a Brown Bunny year, though. It wasn't on that level of suckedom.
Sorry, I had a yawn there. My bad.
I thought you were laughing. I was like, what's he doing?
No. Shall we get to the trailer, or do you have a couple other things?
Oh, that's it. Let's talk about the trailer.
Okay. In front of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal, whatever, it was the trailer for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, the new David Fincher film that Barry had mentioned a few weeks ago. And who wrote the story again?
It's Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde. Okay. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Thematically and visually, I'd almost compare it to The Illusionist in some ways.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see this. And it has Brad Pitt, too. So Fincher and Brad Pitt, it's not going to be Fight Club. So
Kate Blanchett was the girl in it, too. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting because they were both the leads in The Fountain, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. This is the film that they just... And it's interesting because the trailer for Benjamin Button reminds me of The Fountain just in the sense that it's a fantastic fantasy story, with a very adult, very mature slant. So, yeah, I hope it's the best film of the year. I'd love for that to be the case.
Yeah.
Now that we know Indiana Jones will not be the best. I was hoping that was going to be one of the best films of the year, but we'll get to that.
Okay. Do we have other news, or should we just go ahead and take our break?
Let's have a break.
Oh, wow, that's kind of scary that we've got this kind of a slow news week. Okay. Well, I guess we'll
just... I can talk about what I did last week if you want to. If you want to extend it.
Nothing.
I didn't do anything.
Okay. I was like, did I miss something? Or?
No.
We look for jobs, Josh and I.
Yeah.
Yippee Skippy.
You're hiring Screen Geeks. Josh or Barry, it's Screen Geeks.
What, an internship?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, all right. We will be right back.
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals, that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel, Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author, Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first.
And I just put that in there because I do love me some Scott Sigler. You can actually check a lot of his books out over at podiobooks.com. And he does like a reading of his novels.
Cool.
So like in chapters and stuff. And it's really good stuff. It's well worth checking out. It's bloody. It's gory. It's violent. It's got a lot of swearing. But it's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking, Josh, you'd probably dick the crap out of this thing. Yes.
Get geeks excited about reading again. Very cool.
Yes.
Have you read that one in particular, though?
I have not read it, but I've listened to a few of the chapters, and it's good stuff.
Cool.
It's very interesting.
Wait.
Yes. Almost like someone's getting possessed by a virus. So yeah, it is good. So, all right.
Let's crack the bullwhip and talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull versus Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Okay, so I saw this last night, and I just have to say this one thing. The guy I left with as we were walking out of the theater back out to our cars, he's like, you know, Iron Man has to be really happy right now because that's not going to put a dent in his box office at all in the long run, I don't think.
You don't think?
No.
How much did it make over the weekend, though? Okay. It made $26 million on Thursday.
Well, they're still counting it up because they're still counting tomorrow because it's Memorial Day weekend. But so far, it's been about $125 million.
It was $158 budget.
Yeah.
I think is what I
understand. They're going to make their money back.
Yeah. It's going to be a hit. It's just the question is what extent. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
how huge.
And we'll get there later, but I'm curious as to what everyone thinks the drop-off is going to be for next week. I'm very curious. So, yeah. Okay, how should we go about doing this, comparing it to the others?
Well, I thought...
Do we want to do our individual reviews first and then get into it, or...?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I'm guessing I'm the most negative.
Let's start with Judge Doom. Go ahead.
Okay, so there's one word for those of you seen this movie. This movie lost me about 20 minutes into it, and it's all because of one word, and that word would be refrigerator. That's all I'm going to say because I don't want to spoil the film for people. I could not have been more disappointed in a movie. I'm not ready to call it one of the worst of the year, by a long shot. Our friend Nate has seen it twice in 24 hours. He gave it a 3 the first time and a 4 out of 10 the second time. So I'm not going there because I think I'm too emotionally involved. So, but they did give me a list of movies that were referenced to in Indiana Jones 4. We had National Treasure 2 because, you know, doesn't make any sense. We had Caddyshack with all the gophers, which I don't know why. Tarzan. You just have to see it to believe it. No one's surprised about X-Files and Alien. And then we had some mummy references, and we had the obvious Grease thing, too. I have to say, first off, I didn't have a problem necessarily with the sci-fi element. We're going to get into that in big detail, I know.
Spoilers!
No. Well, we're not going to get into that kind of detail.
We aren't going to do that?
We can.
I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see how the discussion goes.
Okay.
If you really need to really explain, my problem with it is that there's a very distinct feeling to the previous three Indiana Jones films. Yes, there are definitely fantastical elements, which, you know, is kind of like a made-up cinematic term, but there's also very much a feeling of being grounded in reality. Sure, it's a little bit pushing it in some ways, but in some ways, you could have called this Indiana Jones and the Amazing Stunt Double, because there's no way a man that old can do that stuff. This should have been done from the point of view of I'm getting too old for this crap. The CG was awful. There are moments in the movies, like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he's fighting the guy with the samurai sword and he just shoots him. When the other guy gets chopped up by the plane propeller. Things like that. They're a little bit over the top when he's fighting the tank in Last Crusade. They're a little bit over the top, but because there's been enough realism, you can buy into that. Those over-the-top moments, I thought, were the basis for reality in this film. And I just had no point of reference for even caring. It was very interesting. I was very disappointed.
I agree. I agree with you. I think the other films buy your suspension of disbelief. And this one, just right out of the gate, was like, oh, screw that. Here you go. You know.
And they were acting as if Harrison Ford was still as old as he was in the last film.
Yeah, which
not 20 years later.
No, and like you said, they should have played it up like that. I felt like he wasn't even crucial to the film. I felt like he was almost just being kind of dragged along to help them, you know, solve all the. It's just like he had no essential part in the film.
I think it's definitely a passing of the torch to see if Shia LaBeouf can hold his own in the movies. Take that for what you will. But again, there are moments that were fun moments that were okay, but because I don't even know quite how to... I guess it's just the suspension of disbelief. Had they had that grounding in reality for the rest of the movie, I would have had a lot far less of a problem with what happened at the end. I really would have with the sci-fi element. I'm just going to say that. Because they've just been heaping it and heaping it and heaping it. I'm like, oh, for crying out freaking loud. And I got more and more mad, and then there's one thing at the very, very end involving his hat, and I said, oh, why not? Because you already done everything else. So it was a very frustrating film, I think, more than anything else for me.
Well, and for a film that's supposed to take us back to the original one, I don't think anything sums it up more like when the film opens up with the old vintage logo, and you're like, awesome, and then it fades into a Prairie Dog hill. And you're like, what? Really?
I was even okay with that.
Oh, well, and then what was the song that the kids were playing?
It was Elvis.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I was hoping for that car to get hit by a train.
Yeah. What was the point of that, too? That whole beginning chase scene?
You know, and like you said, there's always been a level of suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
And if they don't try to insult your intelligence too much, then you can roll with that. And I'm willing to have a good time and had a fun time. There were some very fun scenes. A lot of the shootout on the Jeeps was fun. Once you got into the swords and getting hit in the junk over and over. Well, and
yeah, Shia LaBeouf's balls getting smacked was too much for me.
Yeah, yeah. But okay. So I'm frustrated to the point where I'm very seriously considering just writing off Spielberg, Lucas, and David Kep.
I don't think that I want to write off Spielberg yet, but I do want to write off Lucas. I think he should be done.
Done. Okay, it's never been a secret that I haven't liked the prequel movies, the Star Wars prequel trilogy. I dug the crap out of the Clone Wars cartoon, though. And you have the Clone Wars coming up in August. I'm like, I want to see that. After this, it's dropped off my radar completely. So now Spielberg, I've had him written off for a while. So,
oh, you have?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, Catch Me If You Can was the last movie he did that I liked.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just me. Let's get to the more positive, though.
Because couple haters in the room here. Hating the game, hating the play.
Yeah. Well, and let me be very clear. This is not the kind of movie that's like, you know, if you like this movie, I have no respect for you, because you know what? It's very possible. I just don't get it.
And I think this is good because you guys both grew up with the Indiana Jones films, and I actually didn't see any of them until this year. So I think it's good to interweave that.
Yes.
So
yes. Go ahead, Barry. Give us your positive take.
Well, you know what? I think...
More positive. I know you didn't outright love it.
No, I didn't love the film. I don't think it's a great film either. I liked the film. I think it's a very good film. I thought it was fun and exciting, but I have real problems with it. I think it's, to say the least of the series. I think there's a huge difference between what this movie is and what we wanted it to be. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. And I know I need to see it again because like yourself, like scene for scene, I'm going, oh, this isn't what I wanted. Oh, this is great. Oh, this isn't what I wanted. Oh, this is awesome. This is definitely not what I wanted. What I liked about the opening scene was that it to me, it seemed like from the beginning, Spielberg was trying to set a very, very different tone to let us know this is the 50s. This is a different Jones. This is a different era. And the movie was even making like some really heavy-handed statements about the Red Scare being a real issue as opposed to, you know, like
the whole McCarthy thing.
Yeah, we're past Nazism. Now we're going into, you know, to personal paranoia when you know, America started to not trust its government so much. So like very, very different feel. I don't – and, you know – And I totally understand what you're saying, but I don't know if believability for me was ever a factor in this series, because like I think the first one is one of the great American films of all time. My problems with the sequels was the believability factor. When Indiana Jones in the second one, when he and Mola Ram are hanging on the bridge and have that penultimate moment, and Indiana Jones starts to say those magic words and the stones start to set on fire, for me that was just like, that's when believability, like, okay, there's this movie could be on Mars. And in the third one, I know everybody loves the third one. I do too. I think the third one's a 4-star movie. But when they walk into the cave and the knight is still alive, I remember my heart sinking even when I was a kid in the theater going, why? That's a little silly. So but I wasn't taken aback by the fact that there was never a believable moment in this movie. And, you know, granted, this movie is such a cartoon. I mean, even the way an old man is climbing up on those boxes at the beginning of the movie in Area 51, like, there's just no way. There's no way that, you know, he should have had, like, Ray Winston and Cate Blanchett helping him up those boxes, for Pete's sake. But yeah, for the problems I had with the movie, I liked the film a lot. I really did. And it's the more I think about it, like, oh, you know, there are parts of it that have stayed with me that I've enjoyed. But to say the least, it does not compare at all with the first three. And certainly, and of course, most cripplingly, it's no Iron Man.
Oh, not yeah, even close. No Iron Man.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, and I understand there are people who are saying, you know, who are really, really on it, and there's people who are really loving it. I would say I didn't find it a disappointment. I certainly didn't think it's like of Spider-Man 3 caliber or like X-Men 3 caliber. But no, it could have been better, yes. And I'm sure most of us, you know, it's the question, same with like the Star Wars prequels. What's better, the movie that they made or the movie that we imagine in our minds for the last 20 years? And I think that's, you know, even I can't admit, well, yeah, the movie I had in mind, the movie I wanted was so much better than what they came up with.
I oh boy, this is going to get me hate mail. I'm just ready for it. I would not only watch Spider-Man 3 and X-Men 3 before this. I would also watch Disturbia and Ghost Rider again before I watched
really?
MC4.
Really?
Yes.
That much? Gosh, the more I hated this movie, man.
The more that I've watched, the more that I've thought about this movie, I couldn't get to sleep last night because I was so pissed off when I walked out of the theater.
Wow, you hated that much?
See, to me, like, Spider-Man 3 had a good first, like, hour. A solid hour.
There was something good.
Yeah, and then as soon as he got the black suit and dancing and emo and all that, it was like, whatever. But there's still that good first hour that really was a good Spider-Man movie, where this was just bits and pieces of semi what could have been good, and then everything else was
You didn't think
Tom Cruise
anything
in the
was
closet.
Good in this movie?
I'm not going to say that. That's the weird thing. It's Shia LaBeouf. I didn't have a problem with him. I didn't have a problem with Cate Blanchett. I thought Harrison Ford even did fine. It's the execution of the script. It's the execution of the directing. It's the execution of the god-awful, piss-poor CG that's in that piece of crap. That's what pissed me off.
And Tarzan was in it.
And Tarzan. Tarzan drove me up the wall. The Red Ant Scarabs thing just, oh my gosh. It felt like it was like, well, I felt that with how old Harrison Ford is, with how old Indiana Jones is, it was very important that you have to establish some kind of believability. And it got flushed right down the toilet right off the bat for me. I understand the believability of your thing you're saying. I think part of it is that what Josh was saying was in the previous in Temple of Doom and Last Crusade specifically, there's enough realism and fun and adventure in a more realistic way that they've kind of, you know, they've built up that goodwill to be able to go off the deep end. Sure. And just really pay it off because it's something that's completely out of humanity's control, which happened in this, just like in the previous two movies. I just didn't care. There's a spot where there are transmitters being dropped. That's all I will say.
Yeah.
My friend leaned over to me. He's like, hey, who do you think's dropping those? And I don't care.
And that's I hated that character. He had no
He
didn't do anything for the plot. He didn't push it along. Yeah, he kept switching sides, and it was like, why are you here?
Yeah.
You're introduced to him. This is a huge spoiler, so skip ahead about a minute or so. But it's not a huge spoiler because it's taken care of 30 seconds into the movie.
Yeah.
You meet him, and 30 seconds later, he betrays Indy, and you're supposed to feel this sense of betrayal.
Because he's Indy's like best friend who...
But I have no idea who this guy is. I don't care. Okay, he got betrayed. Well, that doesn't affect me because I have no idea who you are. So that...
Yeah, he was wasted. The character was unnecessary. And I think even worse was John Hurt as the mad scientist.
I was about to say, I felt so bad for him.
He was terrible in that movie. I mean, it's a silly performance, silly character, and I thought he was distracting. I mean, if you're going to go the Phantom Menace route, he was the Jar Jar Binks of this movie, yeah. I thought. Every time he opened his mouth, like, oh, get rid of this character.
Yeah.
And the snake? Really?
It wouldn't have been torn in half? That's all we're going to say. But it wouldn't have gotten torn in half? I'm just... Yeah. On top of the fear of snakes. But here's a question. I don't know that we'll ever get to read this. Do you think the Frank Darabont script probably would have been better?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Considering Lucas didn't write it.
Yeah. Well, David Koepp wrote
part of it too.
He did the version of
But the story, the whole story was based off Lucas's idea, wasn't it?
Well, it's been gone through so many different hands. I think contractually and by, you know, what the Screenwriter Guild of America allows, I think Koepp got the overall credit. But this screenplay has been like bits and pieces. Like apparently Koepp used everything that worked that's been passed over for the years. And that includes the M. Night Shyamalan script, the Frank Darabont script, stuff that's been, you know, the Lucas ideas. And apparently what Koepp wrote is what Lucas liked overall because it also incorporated his ideas, of course, and we all know what those were. So, but yeah, it's a real Franken script, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no problem with it becoming a sci-fi movie. That idea in and of itself, I have absolutely no issue with that. You just have to pull it off, and I don't think they did.
No, I wish they'd gone further with it, honestly. I was actually hoping for like some giant spider or just something like crazy, 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 like on the level of the end of Raiders, where the power of God kills the Nazis. That's completely exactly. crazy, but it was so over the top and so magnificent that the scene actually works, even though it's on paper. I'm sure that was a ridiculous idea. Whereas the climax in this movie, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it felt like another variation on the ending of Raiders and another variation on the ending of Last Crusade. Minor spoilers, someone else melts again and they escape from the temple and the movie ends. And I was very disappointed. It was, you know, spectacular but anticlimactic, and I wanted more. And then, as you mentioned, the X-Files thing, I mean, how can you get around that? I mean, it's an image right out of the X-Files.
I was like, if Mulder and Scully show up at the end of this, I'm going to be very upset. You know, had they gone that route, I think you can go a sci-fi route, because sci-fi was a huge part of the 50s, especially the late 50s, since this takes place in 57. Again, I don't have any problem with that. I love the fact that they brought Marion back. No problem with that. It was pure execution.
I even felt like she was trying too hard at parts.
Oh, no. I will just say this line. When she and Shia say, grab the rope, it's like, really, you're asking us to say this? This is our line right now? That was how they delivered it. And I'm like, I mean, I know it's supposed to be, you're an idiot and we shouldn't have to say this, but it was just, there was so much I didn't like about it. I can remember bits and pieces.
What do you think of Shia, though?
I think he did fine.
Yeah, I thought he did good.
The whole greaser thing kind of got on my nerves.
A little bit.
And of course, there were the Peruvian ninjas that just, okay, sure.
You know what scene I really did like, though, is I liked the motorcycle scene. I really did like that. That was a great chase.
Oh, the motorcycle chase. Yeah, it was great. It was very well done. The problem was that you had these little nuggets that were so good here and there in it that there was just too much disappointment for me to actually even remember thinking about those things. I'm walking around Walmart at the store today, and I see a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper with Indiana Jones, and I like scream with rage. I'm like, you know, it's not a good thing.
Man, let's not even kid ourselves. This is going to be on your top 10 worst list of the year. Let's just,
you know, I think
spoiler.
I think I'm actually probably not going to put it there.
Really?
I don't know.
Top 11?
I would have to see it again, and I don't think that I want to. So, to be really fair, I mean, in the name of the King, obviously that's there, and I don't need to see that again because it's such a bad movie. This, I really, quite honestly, I'm not sure if it's because I was so disappointed or if I was because I think it was genuinely that bad of a movie. Because
you sound like me last year for Spider-Man 3.
I was going to say Transformers, personally. But.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I swear, this is the kind of rage I was going through last summer. You know, everyone's like, oh, it's the greatest movie. And I was like,
so, people said about Spider-Man? Or Transformers they did. But.
Yeah, I think both of those movies may be very, very
I was angry. Thinking before you guys came over, I'm like, this is my Transformers. That's what it's turning into. But I'm not going to put it on my worst of list because, I don't know, there's just something about it that I can't do that. But, I mean, seriously, that CG could not have been worse in spots. It's like, well, we got a week before it comes out. Let's just finish this up. And you got someone running, and it's like blurry and obviously CG, and I'm like,
Well, there's the keyword right there, obvious. Like, I love the image of Indiana Jones standing in front of the mushroom cloud. I really love that.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was you know, silly, ridiculous scene, but I loved it, that image. But no, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of it where it's just like, that's obviously phony. Whereas the other ones, even when he's hanging on the side of a tank or, you know, I mean, it's obviously a different era, and it's a shame that it didn't have that crispness that the originals did.
Spielberg came out and was like, oh, we're going to use very little CG in
this
film. That's
what I remember too. I'm like, what are you talking about?
When?
Yeah, the scene with Cate Blanchett and Shia LaBeouf, everybody knows the scene. That scene obviously was done on a green screen in a studio. There's no way they shot that in the jungle.
But you know, that was still, it was a scene that, had they set up the context properly to be consistent with the previous three films, that wouldn't have been out of place in an Indiana Jones film. That scene itself doesn't belong. It's that it's one of the more realistic type scenes in the entire movie. And when you have that, that's when I start having the problem. So, yeah.
Now, I don't wonder if that really would have helped too, like the stunt work. Because for me, I always think of the first scene, the scene where Indiana Jones on horseback overtakes that truck, you know, the scene where he's being dragged behind.
Yeah.
I mean, the stunt work in that scene is incredible. I mean, you know, even in the context of a movie that's completely ridiculous from the first scene on, it's so thrilling because it's like, wow, that's really somebody, whether it's Harrison Ford or not, being dragged.
I mean, had they even said, you know, we just put Colonel Jones through the Captain America project and gave him the super soldier serum, then okay, maybe I can buy everything that he did in this movie.
Right.
And I will say there was one shining bright light, and that was Neil Flynn, who was the janitor in Scrubs, being the FBI guy who starts accusing Indy of being a commie at one point.
I thought you were going to say Jim Broadbent, but no, Neil Flynn.
Yeah, no, Jim Broadbent, I'm like, cool, Hot Fuzz, you know, just as a joke. But see, you're bringing up very good little things. It's just the geek rage has just sequestered all the goodness that was in there. Because they had some very touching scenes together at the beginning of the film. But it just got lost in the crap. Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's do the comparison game. Let's not lose this.
Okay.
Okay. who would you say is the best sidekick in all these movies? The first one you had Sala. Second one you had Short Round. Third one you have Henry Jones Sr. That's a tough one to beat. And the third one you have Mr. LaBeouf as Mutt Williams.
Dr. Jones. Sorry.
I couldn't put up with that.
No.
I'm sorry.
Because I love Kihoe Kwan in the first and the second one. I actually I like Short Round a lot. I did.
I remember watching that the first time and I looked at my friend like, he's going to be with us the whole movie, isn't he? Oh, boy.
So I love when he burns him. That moment, that really sweet moment where they really connect. Remember, he burns him and he gets him out of his spell. I don't know. I was like the only one who was moved by that.
You know, I'm actually going to go with none of the above and say my favorite like second character was Marcus Brody in Last Crusade because he was such an idiot and had no business being out there.
Yeah.
And they played it up. It's so fun, though. But yeah, I guess I'd have to say Sean Connery.
Yeah,
and this actually, this brings up a good question before we get too far into this. I didn't go see the Indiana Jones films in the theater until Last Crusade. Do you think that if you're of the generation, you know, I was old enough but didn't see them, to have seen the three movies in the theater, you have a different perspective than those who have seen Last Crusade first. Just as in terms of the first trilogy, personally, I like Last Crusade best, but that's because it was the first one I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I think you said Raiders is your favorite.
Yeah,
that's my favorite.
Okay, it's your favorite as well. Okay, because a lot of people who haven't seen them in the theater tend to like Last Crusade for better, but a lot of people who've seen it in the theater, all three of them in the theater, love Raiders as like the best of all three. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've noticed that or not.
No, that's an excellent point. I think it's, you know, Last Crusade is so kid-friendly. And next to this one, because I think Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is the most kid-friendly. I mean, I think the PG-13
Except for the ants thing.
Except for the ants thing and the demise of a certain character at the end.
Yes.
Other than that, it's the PG-13 rating's a joke. This movie could have been PG. It really could have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big factor with Last Crusade. Last Crusade is so, I mean, compared to like the melting heads, the heart.
Yes.
Last Crusade is not only so gentle, but it's more of a comedy than anything. The action sequences are great, but they're not as jackhammer intense and, you know, as fierce as the first two.
Last Crusade is Star Trek IV.
Sure.
In many ways.
That's an excellent, excellent comparison, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a big factor, you know, because, I mean, I think the first one has all that, but the first one to me is just such an extraordinarily thrilling movie and a magnificent movie. The third one is great, but inevitably some of the freshness is gone because it's the third Indiana Jones movie, and the sense of surprise is somewhat there. You know, it's almost like, well, of course, anything could happen next because that's what happened in the first two. I mean, the plane was going to crash. They jumped out of the plane in a raft. They lived to survive. You know, that's what happens in Indiana Jones movies.
Okay, I have to go back to Indiana Jones 4. Sorry.
Okay.
The waterfall gag. They should have gone the Sideshow Bob Simpson's stepping on 47 rakes route so the joke could get funny again. Because the joke was dead well before it finished. So that's just my, okay, that's my last little bit of, okay, yeah, that's, yeah. Okay, sorry.
What would you say the biggest gross out for each movie was?
You know, I think the best gross out of all of them, I think really was Raiders of the Lost Ark with the Ark of the Covenant getting unleashed and the guy melting. That was, I mean, it was groundbreaking for the time, but it still sticks with you as you watch it today. Even the heart thing, you're like, okay, yeah, it's messed up, but
for me, the monkey brain dish in Temple of Doom is, even as a kid, I'm like, that's, you know, I was like an 8-year-old kid when I saw it, and I love, you know, talking about boogers and farts, but even for me, that was like, that
poor
was
little weird. Monkey face, like,
yeah. So gross. So disgusting.
You know, I have to say the ants in this one were pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Except for where they started doing the, I would say human pyramid, but it's an ant pyramid. That was kind of dumb.
I was like, Starship Troopers, yay.
Yes. but the ant thing had some pretty disgusting messed up stuff in it. So I'm not going to say what it was, but when the one guy gets, you know, that's pretty messed up.
What would you say the best action sequence in each movie was? Because for me, the first one, the scene where he and Marion are running through the field, remember she gets kind of kidnapped and he has to run after her, and plus you get that encounter with the warrior. To me, that sequence is so thrilling in the first movie.
I like the chase and the one where he gets, is it when they're going to the Covenant to drop off with the, I
Where he's on horseback and he's that's an amazing scene. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, I'd have to go with yours. With just when you got to the samurai, you had so much thrilling, it's heart pounding action, and you're having a great time, and suddenly he has to fight this guy with a giant Samaritan sword, and he just shoots him. I mean, it was such a great comic break, and then they get back in the action again, and I love that.
Absolutely.
I love that.
The second one would be the mine cart.
Yeah, the mine cart.
Yeah. You can't beat the mine cart. You really can't. It's amazing.
No.
Yeah.
But what about in Last Crusade? There are a few pretty good sequences.
For me, the motorcycle sequence where he uses the javelin to get the guy. Because I love the moment, because they repeat it in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. The moment where Indiana Jones like kills the Nazi guy on the bike, and he has this moment where he kind of laughs and he's like smiling. He looks at his dad, and like Henry Jones Sr. is not happy. And he's like stone faced, and they repeat that in Kingdom of the Crystal Skull on the campus. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. With the motorcycle. Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
where Mutt is smiling and laughing, and Harrison Ford.
Okay, I remember that, and I was like, that's kind of weird.
It was a callback. I don't know. I think the whole tank sequence was my favorite in Last Crusade.
That's an amazing scene.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a lot of fun. Definitely not the flying away from the Zeppelin, because it was so short. But yeah, I don't know. The motorcycle thing was good too, but I just loved the tanks. I don't know why. I just, yeah. Okay.
And then what about the new one, though? I'd say the motorcycle race.
Sure, yes. For me. Yes.
I love the jungle scene. I did. I know, you know. Yes, it was. It looked phony with the CGI, but yeah, the sword fight scene. At first, I thought that's a little over the top, but it's like, no, he's a knife fighter. You know, this is that's why
it's just a long knife.
They set it up.
Really? It's just a long knife. Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That was my favorite sequence in the new one.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. What else have you got for us? Which one has the best villain?
Yeah. Excellent question. The first one, you got Belloc. Second one, Mola Ram. Third one.
I forget what the guy's
Julian name is. Glover's character. Yeah, yeah. And of course, the
Dr. Ilsa Schneider. Yeah.
Ilsa Schneider. Yeah, that's the only one I can remember. And then, of course, the fourth one.
I like the little lady when they were stuck in the chair and they go around and she smiles at him. She's my favorite. No. I don't know. It was kind of hard to tell who's the most menacing, because they were all menacing in their own separate ways.
Yeah.
The way that they set up the guy in Last Crusade actually made me very suspicious of Jim Broadbent in Indiana Jones 4.
Yeah, excellent point.
I don't know. That may have been the most effective use of a villain, possibly. Mm-hmm. He wasn't quite the mustache twirler, which was good.
I think I like the ones that get the most involved in the story, because the thing about Cate Blanchett, as much as I enjoyed her performance and her character, I mean, really, she was really of the mustache twirling variety kind of villain. What I loved about Belloc is not only
very moose and squirreled. Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's an excellent point. No, because the thing about Belloc in the first movie, what Paul Freeman did was that not only is he Indiana Jones's rival, but he's got that great scene where he has a drinking game with Marion. Yeah. So it's like he's always a part of the story. Plus, he's so blasphemous as to dress up like a biblical priest to unearth the Ark of the Covenant. Of course, that ends up having him explode.
That'd be my favorite too.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the best death of all. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Because Mola Ram, Mola Ram was cool in the second one, but other than ripping out people's hearts and laughing maniacally, there really wasn't much to that character.
He could have fit in Big Trouble in Little China, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I'm cheating to right now while you guys are talking to look up.
Oh, what was his name? Shoot, yeah, I wish I could remember what. His
no, no,
name
no.
Was.
I mean, in Last Crusade.
Last Crusade. Yeah, Julian Glover's character, whatever the heck it was.
Donovan, Walter Donovan.
That's right, Donovan.
I told you not to trust anybody. I loved that when that happened. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, so. Very, very smooth. Yeah. Although I hated Ilsa even more, because she gave him the cup that made him melt, and then at the end, her greed ultimately does her in.
Yeah, she was kind of the.
She was slimy. I hated her. Speaking of which, what's your favorite Indiana Jones girl?
Is it probably Marion.
Is it even a contest? Because Kate Capshaw, Mrs. Spielberg, great looking woman, but I mean, she screamed and yelled that whole movie.
That was about it.
And then Ilsa Schneider, I mean, backslapping ho.
Guilty whore! Yeah.
Yeah, Karen Allen all the way.
Yes, absolutely. I loved seeing her come back. That was a very nice touch. Yes.
Best supernatural ending of the four.
God killing everybody.
The Nazis.
Reminded me of the scene of Beavis and Butthead, the movie, when they come out of the church after they just did all that confessional stuff and they get struck by lightning. <It's> like, yes.
There you go. Yeah, it's got to be Raiders of the Lost Ark. Most definitely. It's definitely not the last one. I'm just saying.
No.
I really expected Tom Cruise to come out. That's all I'm saying.
Then John Travolta.
Yeah. I told you.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in the closet too. I kept saying that, like, when they went into, when they finally got to the last temple, I leaned over my mom. I'm like, they're in there with Tom Cruise and R. Kelly and John Travolta.
It was just so silly that there were all these little skeletons. And even when, you know, minor spoiler, even when you finally do see an extraterrestrial, it's like, we've seen this before. That looks just like the one, I don't know, in Fire in the Sky and
X-Files. Yeah, and sure. Everything. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was expecting to be like, do you have a phone?
Yeah. If it was E.T., I would have set fire to the theater at that point in time. But yeah, God forbid they get creative. You know, I'm just saying.
I thought it was a great idea for the movie to go in that direction, but what they did with it was just, it was very anticlimactic.
It was, but they set, and here's the thing, they had a pretty decent setup, actually. You know, where they're talking about the cave drawings of people having strange skulls and how they explained how people actually did that in the Aztec culture. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just these little things. And then, you know, it's like having a nice, tasty appetizer and then having a crap burger for dinner.
So. I just remember, what about the whole beginning when Kate Blanchett's trying to read
right, Indy? Yeah, where's the telekinesis going? Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then, and then, wait, what? And they're like, never came up ever again.
I like the fact that Indy's like, whatever. And then she's like, okay, yeah, you got me.
I was hoping there was going to be a whole army of these little extraterrestrials running around. There's going to like be this big battle at the end. I don't know, something that would have been more. Something that was just so big and over the top and just huge. And
I want zombie pygmies like in Mummy 2. I don't know.
That would have helped too. To me, like, the biggest problem with the climax of the fourth indie film is that it was so deja vu. It's like, we've seen this before, only so much better. And why the heck is it like these little skeletons all sitting around? How silly. They look so silly just sitting there.
These like look plastic.
Actually, I thought they looked like the Guardians of the Galaxy from the Green Lantern Corps was what I thought when I first saw them. They're little, they're blue. Okay.
And the other thing, when they were explaining, oh yeah, there's 13 of them and they're all around the world. Well, no, but they were all in the chamber when they got in there.
Yeah, right. And this is all spoiler territory, so we do apologize for screwing people over. Should we just get a spoiler talk for about 5 minutes and then?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so skip ahead about 5 minutes. I'll clock us and yeah. Okay, so yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say that made no sense to me. I mean, they're out there, but yet they were also in the chamber.
Which made less sense? The fact that there were 13 skeletons with it, they all turned into one guy.
Yeah. Well.
You know what movie did this ending so good and made it scary? Was the X-Files movie.
Yes.
That was scary. That was freaking scary because you didn't know what the deal was. And it's all these people and the aliens are starting to come out of the people and they're ripping themselves out. And you know, you see the danger that Mulder's in, but he has to save Scully. I mean, that was terrifying. And then when the ship flies away at the end of the X-Files movie, that was a real awe-inducing moment. It's like, wow, there it is. He's finally getting to see it. When it happened in this movie, it's like, well,
when things
cares?
Are falling apart,
he's seen the wrath of God. Like, what's a UFO to Indiana Jones?
Yeah, well, and they're when things are crashing, I'm like, oh, they're on a freaking spaceship. Are you kidding me?
Well, then he's like, you gotta tell me that they're aliens? It's like,
and the ship was like, it looked like it was out of Mars Attacks. It wasn't as cool. I mean, let's face it, the one in the X-Files.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Yeah. That would have been cool.
Oh, they took out their death rays and just started shooting everybody?
Yeah. And then Indiana Jones started seeing Slim Whitman and then killed all the aliens.
That would have been awesome. I would have been down with that.
It would have been different because that's the thing. Like the one in this movie, it felt like you've seen it before, only not as cool. It's like maybe they ran out of money at the very end, or
well, and it wasn't like they even tried to pretend that this wasn't going to be completely about aliens from the get go.
Right, because you got Area 51 in the opening scene.
You have Area 51. You have the whole, well, this skull has been crafted by nothing by man, even by current technology. Well, okay. Yeah, it was going to be cavemen. So, oh no, it couldn't be. I'm not an alien. You know, it couldn't have been.
And it didn't play fair with the whole idea that if you look into the eye of the skull, it screws you. Because, like, I mean, how long does it take for you to get eye screwed by this thing?
Well,
because,
I only picked certain people, didn't
right?
It?
Right.
Which happened to be Indy and the other guy.
Yeah, it hurt. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, they didn't play fair with that rule at all. And
no, although he did use it as fire to scare off the Aboriginal people.
What were they doing hiding in there? They just hanging out like somebody came and like fed them?
I'm like, was he really hiding behind that skeleton for the past 3,000 years waiting for someone to come by?
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're right. It's one thing if they were like the guys in Last Crusade who were protecting the secret. Remember those guys who just pop out of nowhere? That's one thing because it looked like those guys were wearing suits. They obviously have lives and careers. But these guys were like hiding in the dirt.
Well, and same with when they went to go get the skull from the graveyard, those dart blowers?
Yeah.
What were they doing? They had nothing to do with that.
They were the Peruvian ninjas.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
They're the action figures that you needed for the set.
I was waiting for floating Moby Hugh Jackman to show up. That's what I was waiting for. I
and the thing where he blew the dart into the guy's mouth.
I like that.
I just saw that in the Get Smart trailer. So I was like, not funny. Not funny. Sorry.
And here's the here's a great question. There was a WALL-E trailer before Indiana Jones. Every trailer I see for WALL-E, I cannot help but get more excited. Could that have helped lead to me not liking Indiana Jones? I'm like, I'm trying to find reasons why I hated this movie as much as I did. And it's just like, WALL-E looks so amazing, but...
But it's different. Like, you're not in your own boat. I mean...
Yeah. I know. It's not like I'm sitting here on my own.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of just kind of laying it all out there. So
for me, it's not quite, but it's close to my feelings about Spielberg's War of the Worlds. Great sequences, but not a great movie overall. I'm kind of...
That's such a diplomatic way to put that.
I think there are some comparisons there, and I don't want to go quite that far, because I think Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is better than War of the Worlds, but oh really?
I would really go there too.
I
hate War of the Worlds. Oh, okay. I Scary Movie 4 did War of the Worlds better than War of the Worlds did War of the Worlds.
I love the opening scene of War of the Worlds where it comes out of the comes out of the street and starts zapping people in her jersey. Was great.
I was hoping for Tom Cruise to get killed.
Just because he was a bastard father.
Yes. I mean, you talk about someone who isn't even likable.
And the fact that he found his son at the end was so cheesy. It's like,
I didn't like,
That was lame. They didn't even explain how the aliens got killed at the end of the movie. That was lame, because you all know what it is in the book. It's the germs, but to me, they did such a...
Yeah, Morgan Freeman was like, and then they all died at the end.
Yeah, he did such a lousy job. Like, what happened? How do they...
Well, but at the same time, that was kind of in keeping to the George Powell version of the movie as well. Yeah, so sure. I was okay with that. But
to me, some of the same problems.
Thank you for finding a movie I'd watch before I watched Indiana Jones.
No.
Where I'd watch Indiana Jones before I watch that again.
Yeah. Let me address the whole Spielberg bashing thing, because I understand that, and you know certainly.
And this is purely me just looking at what Spielberg has done. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't like Munich either.
After Amistad and Saving Private Ryan, I liked Catch Me If You Can, and I've hated every single other movie of his that I've seen.
Okay. Which have been what? Munich, War of the Worlds.
Terminal
was lousy, but I do stand by AI. Munich. Very flawed movie, but I like Munich, and I don't even get Dave Starter AI.
You know, that's another show. You almost got me convinced to give it another shot, though, to give AI another shot.
I hope I would
watch it again, too.
That was my favorite film in 2001. I'll just say it. I thought it was the best picture of the year, but that's another show.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay.
And I'm ready to hang up my whip.
We're past the 5 minutes anyway. Oh, so. Okay. Yeah, and then they all went out for ice cream, so...
Yay!
Which actually, you know, kind of would fit with what the ending was.
Does Dairy Queen have a tie-in for this movie? There's like Indiana Jones has like conquered every single product placement except for like Speed Racer.
You can't take a piss without using Indiana toilet like toilet paper. Because
the Indiana Jones like signs on the men's room and women's room, and yeah.
Ooh. Oh, I will say this though: I went to the new Hollywood theaters and
here in Colorado Springs. There's like 14 of them around the country or something.
What a disappointment!
They're never going to let us go then.
You know, I'm okay with that. If there's anything else around it.
They're building another theater like right across the street from me. That one is, I'm guaranteed from the looks of this one, is going to be an upscale theater, because if it is, the Hollywood theater is going to be gone in like a month.
Well, the Hollywood theater, for you were saying, it's like a low rent Tinseltown with DLP projection.
Yeah, I mean the screen was nice, the sound was great, the picture quality was good. There was one door for each freaking theater, so you had a crowd of people trying to cram in.
That's not cool.
The hallways, you'd walk in and then you go past the concessions, and then there was two, like one hallway on the left and one hallway on the right, just like long corridors. The bathrooms,
kind of like the mall theater.
Yeah, but like worse.
No, the
worse
old mall theater. The old mall theater.
Yeah, but at least the mall one, you can like walk around and there's like another concession thing. No,
claustrophobic.
Yeah, and I felt like I was in a temple, like in Indiana Jones or something. And then the bathroom had one stall. And then the girls' bathroom like extended like beyond their capacity, like what they needed to do. I guess they needed to hold hands or something, and they needed all that room. And it was just like, it was such a like... Oh, I don't want to go back there.
So it's a theater for chicks, you're saying?
Yeah. Wow. The only reason I say that was in high school, the girls' bathroom had two stalls that didn't have a wall in between.
And you know,
so we'd say that they'd go in there and hold hands. And I don't want to talk about why I know that. But
That's what I call a sticky situation. Sorry, I had to go South Park reference. Okay, so are we done talking about Indiana Jones films?
For now,
I think we're taking a... you know, even you kind of got it on the dumping grounds there.
I'll admit the movie has problems. I like the movie, but I'll admit it's far from perfect. I don't think it's quite as bad as you're saying, but I totally understand your side of the argument. I do.
Yes.
You made excellent points.
And it's not like you said that you liked Ghost Rider or something. You know, it's... not something that's just there's one good scene in the whole movie. It's no. This one's definitely going to be a matter of opinion film. And
I like to, but I'll admit I really feel like I need to see it again because my expectations honestly were not realistic for this movie. And I don't know if anybody could have been because the three movies set the bar so high for this one.
The only way I would go see it again is if I do go end up to the drive-in and they have like a triple feature or something. I'd sit through it on
because this drive-in. Is a perfect drive-in movie. Yeah. It really is.
I kind of want to go see Postal first. Oh, I'm kidding. That was a joke. That was very much a joke. There's no way to ever put an Oofa Bowl. I just no, not happening.
But I'm not giving up on Spielberg though. He's still one of my favorite directors.
It's been long since said that I've had a problem with him. So yeah, that's an entirely different issue. So I'm waiting to. I mean, it doesn't mean I stopped seeing his movies. You know, I wouldn't have found Catch Me If You Can if I'd given up.
That's an excellent film. That's a 4-star movie all the way, which Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was not.
Yeah, as opposed to the 5 stars that someone gave it at the one island state in the country. I'll just say that. Okay.
The one island state?
Yeah, that's the only state that's like an island. So.
Oh, I thought that you meant just Maui in general.
No.
Hawaii, I see what you're saying. Cole Smythe. Let's just call him out. Cole Smythe gave Kingdom of the Crystal Skull and Speed Racer 5 stars.
Out of five, not out of 10.
Yeah, that's like the highest rating you can give any movie.
So, okay. Yeah. All right, shall we just go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week? So
love you, Cole. All right, opening in theaters this week. Sex and the City, the movie. Wouldn't it be interesting if this knocks Indiana Jones up in the one spot? Wouldn't that be interesting?
That's what I was going to ask you.
My parents think it's going to flop. I think it's going to do great.
I think it's going to be huge. Everybody's talking about it.
This is going to even get me more in trouble with the girl bathroom thing. The View was on the other morning, and I happened to walk by the TV, and they were talking about it, and they were saying how good it was and stuff. I think girls are just going to flock to this thing. So
okay, I'll let you finish
talking. I watched The View.
No, it's an excellent point. I mean, I wonder if Sex and the City is just going to open huge and then drop, or if it's really that good and it's actually going to make over $100 million like everybody says it is. But either way, I think it's an excellent question. You know, is Indiana Jones? I mean, word of mouth. It's
how big of a drop?
Mixed. Yeah.
I'm saying at least a 50%
drop. Oh, yeah.
I think possibly 60.
It goes without saying because so many people saw it opening week. Inevitably, people are going to say, what else is playing?
We know people that already saw it twice, so it's like...
Yes. And, okay,
because even Iron Man had a 50% drop, and, you know, best word of mouth.
Yeah, I think it's going to be bigger than that. There are two reasons of it. Word of mouth is nowhere near as positive on the Indiana Jones 4.
Right.
Second of all, like that Hollywood theater that Josh went to, they had 14 screens, and every single screen on Thursday was showing Indiana Jones. You're going to have a huge theater count drop. So you're going to have that problem too.
But even a 50% drop for this movie would be like 60 million.
I think it's going to be more than 50. I really do.
Okay, but that's still 50 million the second weekend.
Yeah. I don't know.
So you think like it's going to be like Sex and the City, Iron Man, and then...
I think it's going to be Indiana Jones with about 56 million and Sex and the City with about 30 million. That's my official prediction.
Because it is Memorial Day still.
Yeah. You
know, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's going to have...
You think like, like a Hulk-sized drop, you think?
I think it's going to take a flying leap off a cliff.
You think so? Wow.
Yes. I really do, because people are going
to... want it to take a flying
leap. I do. I'll fully admit that, but at the same time, with how mixed the word was, would you go see that, or would you go see a really cool movie like Iron Man again?
That's what I want to go see Iron Man again. I was waiting in line last night. I was like, I kind of want to go see that instead of this, just because of what I've heard.
Yeah, but and can I just bring up one quick thing? Now, this very well could be just because I'm older now, but people are talking about how there are less box office returns now. How you know there are such significant drops in box office week by week. I remember when I was a kid. Oh, and here's the other thing. Indiana Jones 4 did to me what Matrix Reloaded did to Matrix. It makes me want to get rid of my Indiana Jones movies. But that's beside the point.
Wow.
That's starting.
The hating continues.
That's starting to drop off. But no, the reason I bring up the Matrix is because I saw that like 3 or 4 times in the theater. I saw Episode 1 of Star Wars 4 times in the theater. Granted, it was trying to like it, but still, I paid that money. Do you think with how quickly the release, how small the release window is between theatrical releases and DVD, that's why the theaters are losing so much money?
Hmm. That's an excellent point.
I mean, you have some people, I know of a couple people who've seen Iron Man multiple times, but most people are like, that was a great movie. I can't wait to buy it on DVD.
In theory, it's like they put it out there just because, like, you know, hey, we'll see this in the summertime, but hey, what a better Christmas present than Indiana Jones 4 or the 4, you know, DVD set. But no, that's a really good point, because it's like, what's the point of even seeing it in the theater if, you know, just in a few months you're going to be able to own it. It's going to be in your collection. You can see it whenever you want.
And I have it in my 6.1 surround sound, so that sounds better than what the theater mix does sometimes.
Exactly.
And
No, that's a very good point.
Just a thought. Okay, sorry. Okay, what else comes out besides Sex in the City?
So Sex in the City with Carrie Bradshaw and the girls. Can't wait to see it. And also, a movie that's been pushed back a few times, but from a real sign of faith of the studio opening up against Sex in the City, not to mention all the other big summer movies, The Strangers with Liv Tyler
and
Scott Speedman. I'm really looking forward to this.
The Funny Games remake.
But the stuff that we saw at Comic-Con was really scary.
Yeah, really,
I'm sure
really
it looks really disturbing.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I just saw the poster and I'm like...
No, you're right. It's another domestic terror.
Because you're home. But okay.
Yeah, and that sounds like something that Michael Pitt said in Funny Games. So
it looks genuinely freaky.
Yeah.
And I think it should do pretty well, I think.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope it's a sign of faith. They're
really
opening it now.
The only good horror movie, I think, coming out this summer.
I think that's really it, yeah. Other than
no hostels or anything this summer.
No, the only movie that's scary, I think, is probably You Don't Mess with the Zohan. That's next week, the week after that. So.
Oof. Yeah. Yes. Okay, and then let's talk about DVD releases. There's a crap load
of
random
stuff. Crazy DVD week. Okay, the crap. Let's start with Meet the Spartans.
Yeah.
Flawless with Michael Caine and Demi Moore. What a great match that was. And then Paul Hogan's follow-up to Crocodile Dundee 1 and 2, Almost an Angel, which I honestly liked, but that was 20 years ago I saw that film, so who knows how it holds up.
It's probably because they mentioned Paul Hogan in the Tropic Thunder trailer.
You think maybe that's why? Weird time to release the movie. I liked Almost an Angel, but yeah, of all the times to release that film, it was a Christmas movie when it came out.
Yes.
And then Don Adams in Get Smart 95, the 1995 revival of Get Smart.
It's one disc. It's got both him and Barbara Feldon. It looks like it's bad.
For completists, yes, but otherwise... I mean, isn't this on YouTube?
Probably.
Speaking
of things on YouTube, there's something else that on our list that's on YouTube right now that's worth getting on DVD. We'll get there, though.
Yes. And then with good stuff, you got the Dirty Harry Collector's Special Edition, which includes Dirty Harry, The Gauntlet, Sudden Impact, and The Deadpool, my favorite.
I think it was The Enforcer, too.
And The Enforcer, thank you. And The Enforcer.
Yes.
What else? The Onion movie, which looks hysterical.
Did you forget The Eye?
I did forget The Eye. You're right. I forgot The Eye.
He was supposed to be on Crab. The Crab section.
Sorry, Jessica Alba, the remake of The Eye.
In a 1 and 2 disc edition.
And we're going to build a way up to the cool stuff. Vince Vaughn's Wild West Comedy Show. I've heard very good things about this
I really
one.
Want to see that, yes.
Yeah, I want to see. I know it played at the Denver Film Festival, but it was a midnight screening and I missed it. City Slickers, the special edition. Probably one of the best films that Billy Crystal ever did. I mean, other than Monsters, Inc., I'd say his best live-action comedy, better than any of those Analyze This or That movies.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. And then a film that it's not great, but boy, is it funny. And it certainly beat Scream to the punch by about 20 years.
And it's on YouTube.
Student Bodies.
Yes. Yeah.
Student Bodies finally getting a DVD release. I can't say it's a great movie.
But The Breather is the best killer of all time.
The jokes are hysterical. It's awesome for about an hour. And then it comes to a point where at the end, it's clearly they didn't know how the heck to end it. And it just kind of keeps going and going and going. But man, the first hour of that movie is better than the last two scary movies.
And since I think the MSRP is $15, so you should be able to pick it up for $12 or $13. It's well worth it.
Do you know if there's any extras on it?
I don't know, but for the fact that this has been out of print for 20-some years, it's
even
worth
on VHS.
So you're saying it's like Scream?
It's a parody of slasher movies, and it was done, I think, back in 82 or 83.
Something like that.
Yeah, and it's about this killer called The Breather who kills these these young men and women. Yeah, I mean, the opening scene is a total parody of the opening scene of When a Stranger Calls, but only it was done in the 80s.
Yeah.
So it looks and feels like a Paramount 80s horror movie, Friday the 13th.
Like the phone rings and she picks up, hello? And she hangs up. Ring, ring. Picks it up. Would you stop doing that? Who are you? Who is this? What are you doing? Hang up. Calls back. I said, oh, it is.
But is it like Scream or try? It's
no,
also
no. It's
scary
a pure spoof.
Too,
it's a pure spoof.
It's a total spoof.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it was the first one to ever do it. And it was a total flop. Nobody saw it. So unfortunately, it didn't really make it much of an impact. But it's got some fun and gags.
This isn't Saturday the 14th bad.
Right.
This
no.
is actually funny.
It's actually really funny for about an hour until apparently, according to the history that I read in the movie, they had a lot of problems with it. They weren't sure how to market it. They were afraid that people wouldn't think it was funny or scary enough. So they reshot a lot of it. And the ending, it really shows because it really does have one of those reshot endings. But the first hour of the movie, there's a joke where like the breather is chasing this girl, and he like keeps chasing her. He's like, I had to pick a jogger. You know, it's like the whole movie has like really wonderful random jokes like that, and it's really good.
Yeah, he's got like rain slick shoes, and he's climbing these stairs, and gets gum stuck on him. And at one point, like there's like a 5 minute scene. Finally, he's like, "It's too many stairs." And he like opens up this drawer and sees all these murder weapons: hand grenades, knives, guns, all that stuff. He picks a paperclip. And kills him with a paperclip. So, yes.
Yeah, it's not a great movie, but it's kind of like the one you let me, Grandma's Boy. The funny stuff in it is funny enough that you should see the movie.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Okay, is that all we got?
It looks to be the case, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, that's okay. We're coming up in an hour anyway, so that's okay. Next week, we are going to, we said we had an interview last week. We're actually recording an interview with Mark Lugie, so we're going to go ahead and play that next week. We're really excited for it. And if you want to shoot us an email, give us emails over at podcast or Barry, Josh, Dave, Ethan, Nate at screengeeks.com. And I guess that's about it, huh? Let's just go ahead and get the heck out of here. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Matt Williams.
And oh, God, Josh.
That hurt.